Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Sorry, you're joining us just after PJ had a fight with his microphone.
I just gave it an old dig there. Yeah, it does make funny noises, you know.
It's weird.
Even when I'm not speaking into it, it has a tendency
weird,
to make funny noises.
It's
yeah.
It's create a buzz, not a home, as they say, and all that kind of carry on.
As long as it's not in my head, you know, there's enough noises in there at the moment.
We're on a buzz ourselves at the minute because in case you missed it, like, we're recording this as we always do on a Friday just after the show, and on the show today during our Friday feature we had these award-winning burgers from Handsome Burger.
Jesus
and
Christ,
we are absolutely buzzing after it.
Honestly, they were the best burgers, and I do mean it. Like, there's no reason to say this now, he's gone, and like, there's no one paying for this or anything. They were the best burgers I've ever had, like, ever. That is the best burger I've ever had.
I think I'm with you on that. Do you know that? I can't think, nothing comes to mind of ever having a better one. And do you know what the weird thing about it is? He actually apologised to me because he forgot to put the bacon on mine.
Yeah, I got the bacon.
And mine was still incredible.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had a bit of the special one with the chorizo.
Oh, the chorizo summery one he said he did. The summer flavoured one or something.
That was amazing. God, that chorizo jam was fantastic.
Bloody hell. Honestly, there's so much to be looking for. And I do, maybe that's
to the flavour or something like that.
That you look out the window and see so much sunshine. And now, maybe you're listening to this on a Saturday, it might be shiting down out of the heavens. But as the moment, as we speak, here with bellies full of burgers and the sun outside.
Does life get better?
It doesn't really get better. It makes everything feel so much lighter. I feel so devil may care in a way that I never normally do. Yesterday, the sun was shining. I had 4 Milky Ways and a beer in the garden. I was like, fuck it. Live for the moments you have.
Yeah.
You know, they say that the sun can be one of the greatest antidepressants known to humankind just because it's there, you know.
Yeah. And what do we do? We immediately pour in, as soon as the sun comes out, we pour in a load of alcohol.
Which is
just
a depressant.
Just to make sure we stay depressed.
Just to stay depressed, yeah. Oh, jeepers. But isn't it glorious? I mean, well, it is. It's been such an amazing week, you know.
You've been around the world a fair bit. And
a little bit, yeah.
And your other half currently is an American and
yes,
all that sort of
yes,
stuff.
Right? Yes,
so I'm just saying, a lot of people have experiences of good weather different to Ireland, right?
Yeah.
So you get a lot more of it, maybe, sun and whatever. So is it only the Irish who decide when the sun comes that it's this kind of, what's rare is wonderful, so we can rip the bollocks out of it?
I think the Brits are probably as bad.
While it's there, because,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, if you were doing this in Florida or somewhere,
nobody
you'd be
does
at it
Florida.
Every day.
Nobody does it in Florida. There's like, the sun's out, okay, you gotta be careful. Or, you know, that stuff, burn the brass right off your ass, that stuff. You know, gotta be real careful with the sun. And you know the way the Aussies are, they're seriously paranoid about it. You suppose you should be, but they're really like, you know, nothing less than a factor 4 fucking thousand, mate. You hit a melt in that shit, you gotta be fucking careful. I knew 5 lads who had fucking sunburn once. Bastards are dealing with a loaded gun, you know, it's like, it's all that, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Ireland, it's like, you know, we're only one step away from, fuck it, get stick the hand in the deep fryer, it's cold. Oil up boils. Get out into the sun. It doesn't matter if you lose your job. What matters today, you know, let's think in the short term. For tomorrow, we may be dead anyhow.
Do you never notice as well that you get the odd time when, you know, when Irish people go on holiday, right?
Yeah.
And it's sun, and you get the odd one. Now, to be fair, for some reason, a lot of them do tend to be women, which is fair enough. That probably makes a lot more sense. And they'll say, God, you know, and you kind of, you don't be in the mood for a big meal. You have, like, you know, you have fruit, like, and all that sort of stuff.
And some rolled up ham and an egg.
No, I'm saying when you're on holidays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's lovely fruit bowls and you'd have that and you wouldn't be having whatever.
Oh, yeah, Greek yogurts. No.
Whereas here, the sun comes out, nobody ever thinks, I'd love a bit of fruit.
No.
It's straight into either a beer garden or a burger joint or whatever.
Fish and chips.
Yeah.
Give me 4 fucking potatoes, chipped, dipped in oil. And I lump a fish the size of my husband's head. I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way. Yeah, and we just get stuck in real heavy foods.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, we love it. Yeah.
Like, you go
and
away
pints. And people bear Guinness and all. I have a Guinness and a load of potato chips.
Whereas when you're on holidays and you're doing that thing and, you know, whatever, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. You go over there and you can do the sort of, now, I'm not saying you don't get stuck into the pints or whatever, but you do food wise, just all the other stuff, whatever, you know, and you, like, it might be a bit lighter or a bit whatever. And but here, not at all.
Not a salad.
Shut up! Don't be talking.
A salad? What's that for? What are you putting that on? Sits alone in your pockets.
Yeah. Here. You definitely you want the barbecue out. You want loads of hot meat in the hot weather. You want loads of hot meat.
Yes.
And carbs.
Yeah.
And then a load of pints.
And you know the Americans are actually very similar to us in that way. The Americans, you know, as soon as there's like your proper sunshine, they get a lot more of it, no matter where they are. Like even in the East Coast, than we do. It's like yeah, get the barbecue going. Hey, fatties, get your ass over here. We're having a lamb shank. You know, and you're like, what's a lamb shank? It's like four pigs. We're gonna put them into the shape of a lamb, and we're gonna drink ale in the backyard. You know, they're like that a bit. What we're like that as well, which I never understand about us, is like if you go to Boston, right? You go to New York, you go to Florida. Even in Florida in the winter, when it's like our summer, right?
Right.
If you cannot buy an ice cream, all the ice cream shops on the coast now, they're all closed down, right?
Because they're saying it's winter.
Yes, there's no. They literally would not cross an American's mind. And all the American family I have to come over here now, they can't believe, right, that it's January or February, right? There's ice on the ground, and those fuckers have to take balaclavas off.
Yeah.
And they're standing at trailers in petrol stations going, give us $2.99.
Yeah.
And a screwball.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you don't sell gloves by any chance to carry it around.
Absolutely.
So we go like the opposite. Like we go ultra, ultra cold when it is cold. And then when it's hot, we go chips and, you know, burgers. And there's no real logic to the way we carry on.
Yeah.
Weather-wise.
Although I will say, I tell you what's great. You know the way there used to be the old gag about Americans would always kind of annoy you because it was whatever you did, they did it bigger and better.
Oh yeah, well that is it. Yeah, yeah. Right, that's their whole thing.
You know the way, but I just realised, and it's only literally occurred to me as we were talking. You know that thing that Americans do that where they go to a big football game. You know the American football or baseball, where huge, and they have those trailer park things where they not trailer park, but those
the car park. They call them trailer parties or whatever.
Or
they call them.
Yeah. So they literally out the back of their truck or whatever they have. Their, you know, flatbed truck or whatever, they'll have full kind of, you know, tables set up
and
food and
gas-fired barbecues.
And loads of beer and
kegs.
The whole thing in the car park, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Which is the kind of American equivalent of the family travelling to the GAA game and stopping with a ham sandwich at the side of the road.
Yeah, stopping 2 miles out of Athlone. And eating a ham sandwich out of the boot of the car.
Yeah, and a flask of tea.
A flask of tea and all, yeah. Yeah, bourbon biscuits, and the kids going, you didn't only bring bourbons.
And nowhere to sit, so you're standing at the side of the road,
standing there,
a ham sandwich and drinking out of a plastic cup of tea.
Mammy's like sitting at half in the boot with her legs lifted up off the ground.
Exactly.
That's our version of it. Yeah, your dad's still talking about the players. No one else in the family cares nor knows.
Yeah.
I'd say Harry McCarthy now will have a good game today. I'd say he'll be fine. He'll be wild. He's very powerful there now. He had an injured wrist for the last 3 weeks. The family don't know who's
don't
on
give
they don't give a show. It's just a day
the
out.
The kids are just having a day out.
Give us more of them sandwiches. Is there a Swiss roll in the car, Daddy? There is a Swiss roll in the car. Let me get the Swiss roll.
You drove in some posh cars.
Oh, I'll tell you something. A Swiss roll. Oh, yeah. And it's a good one. It's the raspberry and the cream. You know that one.
Because that is a tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd imagine above all people, Irish people would have embraced a tradition like that American thing of, you know, having literally a full-blown barbecue / booze up in a car park.
Yeah, and it's
before a football match.
And we haven't in the same way. And even the American attitude is, whoa, whoa, game, motherfuckers! Party! You know, they round up and they park together and it's like, get the booze up! Chug, cheddar's a bastard for you know, it's all this. So it's all about the party.
Yeah.
In Ireland, it's, right, we'll get into town now early. We'll get into matches at 3. We'll get there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we'll get a good parking spot.
We'll have the dinner before we go, just to be sure. You don't want to be drinking on an empty stomach.
Yeah, we'll have the dinner there and we'll bring the breakfast with us. You know, it's all about practicalities, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll stop there now with that loan. And by the time we get into something, there'll be a lot of spaces there now.
Yeah.
And we'll call into your Auntie Rita and see how she's done after the husband died.
Yeah.
You know, it's very practical.
To slag the soccer crowd, the football crowd, separately. So you'd have that with the GA, with the football crowd, then it'd be everybody. They'd get to the ground.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't get in.
Wouldn't go in.
Because they'd stay in the bars.
The dubs. The dubs now. If no other team. To be fair to countries.
I'm saying even the Republic of Ireland football team, you get to Lansdowne Road and sure you'd be, you're like, not only would they be out on the pitch, like they'd have started.
Yeah.
And you'd be still inside at the bar.
Still
inside.
Yeah,
I know, sure, I'll give them a chance to warm up.
So they'll never score in the first 10 minutes, they're shy.
So we do it slightly differently.
What's mad about, if you ever go to sports in the States, right, as well, they don't have a culture of watching the full game, right? I know that sounds bananas, but they actually don't have that culture of watching the full game. They do watch it in bits, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to the baseball game, there'd be maybe a band down under the stand. There'd be pool tables under the stand. There'd be, you know, arcade games. Then there'd be like a different, maybe a market of stuff. And so and the culture is you watch a bit, you walk around a bit, you go back in, what's the score? You watch another bit, you go down a bit. Everyone maybe comes in for the end.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's a real day out culture, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Ireland, it's like, we have another one before it starts. Yeah. Oh, fuck, we'll have two. And then you're drowning yourself in 3 points.
Absolutely.
And running
I'm
in.
Dying for a
running pin. In, and then holding onto your flute like it's got, like a fucking balloon. Waiting for half time. God forbid you'd miss a bit of play. Yeah. Wait. Oh, shit, I have to go now to beat
the
rush.
Don't go now. There's a free kick.
Oh, he missed it. Fuck, I'm off the piss in my pants. And then everybody goes and rushes at halftime for the same thing. It doesn't happen over. And then at the end of the game, you're sitting there, you could be losing by 12 points. Oh, fuck it. Oh, burst for the piece. Oh, because I'm going to shite myself. Lads, I swear to God. Oh, go to. No. There's only. How long's left, ref? And then. And the referee has said there will be an added on time of 6 minutes. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, jeez, I can't do it.
It's like a purgatory that you're going through.
It's a purgatory, and they don't do that at all. For us, it's all
just
about,
so that you can turn around and go, I'd never miss a minute of the game. I haven't the whole season.
Yes.
All season, and I still didn't get an All Ireland ticket.
Yeah. I'd stay to the end and boo the fuckers off rather than leave early. You know this attitude.
Yeah.
I would never ever leave early, no matter what. No matter what would I leave early. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, die hard. Love it.
I know.
Love
it's hilarious. It's hilarious. And so needless in a way. Like, you know, if you need a slash, just go for a slash or whatever.
I have to wonder. You know the sports we're not into. Right,
yeah.
So the GAA and the soccer and stuff, we're into that. Bit of the rugby, I like a little bit of the rugby, whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, like in the golf and crowd, I suppose, that'd be one where people probably come and go. They watch players for a while or they walk with them and they whatever. But you don't really think of golf as a big boozing culture as a spectator.
No,
when
really.
You're taking part in it. You're only doing it to keep yourself out at the pub for 4 hours.
That's, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's honestly
literally just an enforced walk
to
stop you getting arseholed too early in the day.
Yeah, break up the day.
But I wonder for, like, you know, stuff we're not into, hockey and cricket and...
Show jumping. Imagine that.
Yeah, party crowd?
Imagine it was the same as show jumping as it is going... Imagine, first of all, the chants and all. Yeah. You look like a horse. You look like a horse. Your horse's hole is like your face. You look like... You'd be doing all that. You know, all the abuse and chants. Imagine. All of that. And then as they go to run over the fence, you go, yeah, you fat bastard. Waiting for a half time and all. Blow it up, ref. You know.
Actually, I just realised that would be similar. Horse racing. Everybody gets lampooned. Horse racing.
Horse racing is, though, in fairness, horse racing, like, whether you love it or hate it, I'm not a fan myself, but it is a great unifier as far as all the social people. Because you get the ultimate toffs.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking Saudi Arabs, like billionaires.
Yeah.
Like, and who look down on Downton Abbey-esque lords of England, who they look down on the highest of high society from Ireland, who look down on Killiney folk, who then look down on middle class folk, all the way down to, you know, your man who has literally looks like an onion with a face drawn on it, wearing a hat,
and
he'll walk around with his breeches held up with rope and two odd shoes. You know,
you do get them at horse races.
You do, and they'll be like, oh, just hold on, wouldn't it be there, this half star? And they're all in the same arena, all of them, you know.
Yeah.
And that there's something very. No other sport can do that. You know, you're both queuing for the same bookie on the track, you know.
Yeah, and your man comes in with, I'll have 5 million on...
Yep, 5 billion, yes. Yeah, I want to buy the horse that wins. Can you organise that for me? Yes, no problem. And the other fella going...
I'll have a euro each way there on number 7.
I'll have a euro each way on every odd number. You know, it is a thing.
That would be amazing. Yeah. That would be
amazing. It is a thing. Like, you know, yeah. Dog tracks don't have the same. Dog's tracks
not
are famous.
At all. No.
You know, but there's horse racing does it. No other sport does it in the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm not, nothing else actually at all does it. Brings oh, yeah. all them.
I mean,
gangsters
to be fair,
and everything.
There's a lot of boozy crowds now, that, in fairness, around, you know, like cricket apparently are famous. Now, you'd want, you know, there's a posh game.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But around the world.
Cricket goers. Now, in fairness, you'd have to. How the, could you get through a cricket?
Oh, you
go
couldn't.
On for 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days.
You have
yeah.
to be out of your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely to God.
And so they're not watching the game, let's face it.
No, exactly.
The game is absolute.
Yeah. Like, or Formula One. Like, you get, like you we're get, always talking. You talk. Get a half a second of a car going, meow.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah.
And then you go, right, okay. How long is it? They'll be back in about 5 minutes.
I know,
I'll have
but
a point.
You're down, yeah. Yeah, but in Formula One you're there because the engines are there from this and you're there and the, but I suppose you know for, is now here's the thing, terminology in Formula One can be difficult to understand, right? If you are not involved in the world of petrol, you know tire compounds and you know how heat cycles and engine layouts and you know all that sort. There's a lot of terminology to it. It's very difficult to understand. But if you're into it, you understand it. Whereas I genuinely don't believe anybody understands the terminology of cricket. You know, I do not. I don't. You know, two googly watsits, Doolal Lee, lacy shoes, backward step one,
afternoon tea,
pirouette four, let's go. And everybody just kind of walks around until one person looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, throws the ball, stickily kick it, Velcro tie, upsy downsy, it's a try.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is happening here? Yeah. Velcro pads, wig too big, statutory alignment, let's go, white line time. You're like, what's he on about?
You're right.
What's he actually on about?
No wonder you have to go for a chair.
Yeah, even the lads in F1 are going, I'm going to be drinking and driving around this track if I have to watch any more of that.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With InsureMyCars.ie.
Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. You may remember about a month ago there was a story in the papers about a complaint made to a driving instructor or about your driving instructor because he said, "Who's your daddy?" or something when he was giving them a lesson.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did he? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? I don't know if what the context was. But there was a complaint made about it anyway.
Right.
And now I've just been handed a list of complaints that have also been given in. Complaints about driving instructors in Ireland.
Learner drivers. So it's the learner drivers doing the complaining about the instructors.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, it's definitely, it's eye-opening, right? I will say, one learner driver said she was so frightened by the instructor's insults and his wild yelling so that she ended up getting diarrhea in the car and had to pull in. And it was, as you can imagine, yeah.
He scared the over.
Literally, yeah. Which, I mean, and that's outrageous. Because it is a very nerve-wracking thing to have a driving lesson or a driving test anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, what was the wild yelling sort of like, watch the tree?
I don't know. And that's it. You know, these allegations, and they are alleged. So, right. You know, we don't know. But that is, the complaint was, he literally scared the out of me, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was, get this one. An instructor was apparently so concerned about their student's driving ability and his ability to get back safe that he started loudly praying in the passenger seat.
Oh, brilliant.
Loudly praying. And he was, whoever was driving the car was like driving the car, and your man's there going, "Oh Lord, bless us, save us, may the Holy Mary and the life look down on us and save us, may we be saved from the accidents of the." And then he started screaming and shouting and threatened to just leave them on the side of the road. Says, "I'm just going, get out. Yeah, I'm just going."
As in, the instructor wanted to just get out.
The instructor just wanted to drive off and leave the other person there on their own.
Oh, loudly praying.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, so how would that not, even if you were driving, I'm driving whatever, over 30 years, if somebody started doing that, my ability to drive is definitely going to be affected in some way.
Yeah, but you do have to ask, what level of driving do you have to be at for somebody to pray for the safe return, you know, for them to maintain their life?
Well, that's true, but jeepers. And then there's people on the other end of the spectrum. So another complaint reported, right, that the person who was doing their lesson did a U-turn wrong. And then they decided to say, actually, I think I did it right. And
yeah,
they had a
questioned it or whatever, yeah.
And the instructor went, ah, did you? Well, I'll tell you what, do whatever you want. And wouldn't talk for the rest of the lesson.
Wow.
Do whatever you want and then refuse to speak.
That's a relatively dangerous thing to say to a learner driver. Do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, okay. I'll just go the wrong way down this dual carriageway,
didn't I? I hope you know how to pray, because the last fella that told me that ended up doing 2 decades of the rosary. Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? And another fella called the driver an idiot. He said, you're an absolute idiot. And was wild yelling, was apparently to use wild yelling. And the driver,
that seems to be a commonplace thing. The wild yelling seems to be a commonplace thing.
I know, yeah. And then apparently the driver says, admittedly, I did say, if you're going to be a, then I'll be a two.
Right.
And that didn't help by all means.
You would definitely say not the most conducive environment to learning if they both hate each other.
I know.
That's not great.
And
really,
then you get stuff where the driver is, or the instructor, he's completely nothing to do with the situation. You just know something's off from the start, right? So one person was doing a driving lesson and your mom was texting and all.
What?
Yeah, he was texting and all when they were doing the lesson. And then he goes, oh, come here. I have to sort out this the row I'm having with my wife, he goes. And then he started throwing tantrums, going, my Jesus! She's impossible to deal with! Your man's trying to do it!
Well, your man's trying to learn.
Yeah. And then your man says, the complaint says, this person is absolutely not mentally fit to be an instructor. Because he had to cut the lesson short. He just says, oh, look, I can't. I haven't time to be teaching you how to drive. Me missus is going mad, and I have to sort all that out! And he's like, but like, I have to learn to drive. Yeah, well, you have to learn to drive, do you? What about me? It's bizarre.
But you know how to drive.
Yeah, yeah, it's gas, isn't it? Like, I will say, it's a tough job. I know it's a tough job. And people do have awful instructors. I was an awful student. Remember I told you the story when your mum was teaching me to reverse around the corner? Oh, Jim.
I don't know. Now, I'm not well, and I don't know if I want to hear this story. And do bear in mind, there are people having their breakfast.
Well, should I tell it or not?
Well, I don't know.
I was telling,
being on your own
we're
head.
We're going for it.
Or has it happened, being on your... Anyway.
He was telling me to reverse round the corner. And I had my hand around his shoulder. You know the way you do that?
Yeah.
And he goes...
I don't know if he should have put it on the shoulder. Well, maybe the back of the seat.
Yeah, the back of the seat. Yeah, not around him, actually. Yeah. I'm on the seat.
Yeah. And that's a bit over.
I felt a sneeze coming on.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Nowadays...
Now, be warned, people.
Nowadays, I'm experienced enough, I just stop, sneeze, and then I start again.
Right.
But I was thinking, I have to get around the corner. And I was like... And because I couldn't see, because I was trying to stop the sneeze, I was going out into the middle of the road and all. And he was like, bring it in a little there, bring it in a little, looking over his shoulder.
He was back to you now.
He was back to me, looking out the window, just bringing in a little. And I went, and I sneezed. And my God, this string of snot came out of me. And it wrapped itself around his head like a scarf, Jim. Like a scarf. It was like a line of goo across his hair from the back of his neck up along to his head. A ringer. The car stopped and he looked around at me and he didn't say anything. He just took a tissue out of his pocket and started patting the back of his head. And I could see all of it. Oh, jeepers. And he goes, never mind that. Just continue on forwards to the next set of traffic lights.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
Now, you'd imagine that if you get a gig like an actor, right? If you're an actor and you're a relatively successful actor,
well,
right?
Not
one of those kind of ones just trying to break in. If you've got a bit of something behind you.
Yeah, and like for instance, you were just cast in a Beatles biopic.
There you go.
Yeah.
That level of success, right? And I have a bit of knowledge of this, not obviously because of myself. I mean, I wouldn't have a clue. But because I am a friend of a hugely successful actor who tells me all of the wonderful things, you know, it's really good pay. You get endless choice of the very best biscuits. It's just, you'd imagine life doesn't get much better than being a successful actor.
All I can speak there about is the biscuits. That part is definitely true. Everything else he said is a horrendous pack of ridiculous made-up lies and horse
poop. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the
truth.
But
anyway, this is not something you would expect from, you know, to hear from an actor.
Oh, I'm so sick of pompous actors doing the whole... You know, as great as things are and having these millions and being asked to portray the Beatles and everything, as great as it was, I really was happier as a do-nothing layabout ragamuffin boxing my way through the audition lines. I hate it. I absolutely hate that sort of crack. Because it's completely pompous nonsense. And I don't know who Harris Dickinson really is. I don't know his name. I'm sure he's a lovely fella to chat to and all.
Yeah. But he's and I don't even know what he's been in. Does anybody know what he was famous for?
I don't really.
Before he got the Beatles gig.
I don't really. He co-starred with Nicole Kidman in Baby Girl. Which is actually a great film, to be honest. Now I have seen that film. It's one of the only cinemas I went to see for a while there. It's pretty good. He's a great actor, but he goes, before I hit the big time, he goes, before I was cast as one of the Beatles and cast in the Beatles biopic, he said I was a bin man. And he says he was happier. He was happier back then. You know, he says it was the rough times. I was auditioning a lot, working in a bar in the basement in Hollister as well. That was rough. But I was working at London Bridge in control of the bins at the park, and I loved it. Loved working in the bins at the park.
So
he says it was great satisfaction. If he could change.
That was the happiest time in his life, was it, as a bin man?
Yeah, yeah. No, it isn't. Let me tell you something. The bin industry is wide open, mate. You can go back. Nobody's stopping you going back to the bins.
You literally
are more than welcome to go back to the bins.
Like, they're in high demand, by all accounts.
They're in high demand. They really are. They're all recruiting at the moment. City Bins, Panda Bins, and all of them. I'd say Greyhounders. They're all recruiting. And I'd say, to be honest, coming with your CV, if one of the Beatles, for instance, was looking to work there, I'd say you might get a job. I'd say, to be honest, I'm putting it out there, you're probably a shoo-in.
Yeah.
So, there's no need to make the movies. Trust me.
Yeah.
The movie industry will survive.
If you are happier as a bin man, follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams. I know, you know what I mean, PJ often says give up on your dreams, but in this instance, if you want to be a bin man again, if the idea of being a really highly paid movie star bothers you that much and you are much happier as a bin man, follow your dreams, buddy. Yeah.
Pay for your own biscuits. Pay for your own biscuits. No problem. If you really don't want adoring fans, and if you really just want to do a day's work, and if you really want to be ignored by everybody, or maybe have L1s going, you're always double parking there.
I can't
get me trolley through.
Just like the uniform or something, the gloves.
If you really want to see disappointed people who can't get past your truck, sitting behind you and waving their arms at you, and if you really want to be getting that,
or maybe
no
he
problem.
Just maybe he liked the Christmas bonus, you know? Maybe he liked knocking in for the Christmas bonus.
Yeah, how you
there
doing?
You go. There's a slice of cake for you as well.
Does that even happen anymore? I don't think it does.
Ah, come on, must do. Surely they deserve a little Christmas bonus, no?
Maybe up your way, where they just take the bins and dig a hole in the.
How very dare you. You're right. It is just one of those things that's a stretch too far.
It is. It's just not true. Nothing wrong with being a bin man.
Very, very, absolutely kind of fantastic job, vital job, everything brilliant. But your man's a movie star now.
It's just not true.
And he reckons he was happier as a bin man.
Yeah, happier as a bin man. Right. Honestly, it's like anybody looking back, like anybody now who's an adult looking back to anything they did as a kid, as long as it's different. You know,
he wasn't even a kid, was he?
A very young adult, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe 18 or 21.
Look at this, the Dart has just been on to say his father owned a cider company.
Oh, right, so he came from very humble beginnings, you know, where all his five friends' dads had champagne companies. His dad was a poorly man who just owned a multi-million dollar cider company, Yeah.
So what we're saying is that at that time that he was really happy as a bin man, he wasn't necessarily stuck for a few quid. He just decided. Fair play to him for that. Kudos for getting out and doing something in the workplace. Albeit, you know.
Yeah.
If it was on the basis of like, I don't really need this job, but I do like to be among the people.
I know, but it's like, imagine you and me, we have a good job. We enjoy our job. Yeah. We're hiding it. And it's like, imagine you turn on the microphone and you start suddenly farting out of you. Oh, I missed the days turning up in the shop that I used to work in as a kid, and your man saying, where the hell were you bleeding and saying, do what I'm telling you, or I'm going, I swear to God, do you want a wedgie or what is it you? And you'd be like, oh, it's just the constant threat of violence from fires during the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah. That's what really made the halcyon days.
Those were my happy days. What I wouldn't do to go back to feeling as inferior then as I... Oh, mind you, you've managed to keep your inferiority. You can't get right through that. Like.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at...
InsureMyCars.ie.
believe it or not, after 4 days of temperatures being in almost double-digit degrees, we are now, it's already started. It happens every year, but it's only April. We've had literally 4 dry days, and Ishka Aaron are saying, listen, we need help to safeguard the water supplies. Particularly low overall rainfall levels last month, and an earlier sort of the usual start to wildfire season, it says. I suppose there's been fires in Mayo. Mm. And it said, here's some conservation tips. It's given us the conservation tips and saying we need to conserve water and we need to do all that. I know we do. It's absolutely very important.
Well, you shouldn't be wasting it, I grant you that. But
we should never. It should be at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Yeah.
But after 4 days of almost 11 degrees, Jim.
It's a drought, PJ. It's a drought. A veritable drought. It's
unbelievable.
I mean, my God, gasping here.
I love that.
I
love that Ireland can have a drought and we haven't even gotten a chance to take off our jackets yet.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's light jacket weather. It is light jacket weather during the day, you know.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
Not even a jacket, which is why we're in this predicament where there's not a drop of water to be had.
Only for head case mountain men like yourself who'd be roaming the hills and staying eternally warm, whereas there are the rest of us that's still down in the ground. I came home on my motorbike last night. And there was dew and all over the seat, you know. It was still chilly at night coming home, you know.
Oh, yeah, and in the mornings, and like some people are still kind of having to, depending on where you are in the country, some people still defrosting there. No, but that's a good sign because it means really clear skies, no cloud cover.
Oh, no, it's great.
You know, so it's even great. If it is a bit chilly in the morning, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Not what I would have thought was conducive to the beginnings of a drought.
It's not, you know, when you think of lands that might be, you know, that might suffer from drought, you tend not to think of, you know, anoraks.
I don't think people around the continent and who live on the equator at the moment are saying, oh my God, have you heard about Ireland? Yeah. My God, it's been 8 degrees in the mornings. There's fellas only wearing one jacket and no hats. They're in serious trouble over there.
Oh, they're struggling.
I swear to God, the spring, you can't keep the spring water on the shelves. There's lads washing themselves on the side of the road and everything with bottled water.
Like, what is it about our ability or inability, it appears, to store water or, I don't know, whatever you're supposed to do with it.
Or because, anything at all. Like, sliced pans. When we get one flicker of snow.
How did we make that joke?
Because we get
sliced pans.
A flicker of snow. A flicker and a flutter of snow. And that's it. You can't get a sliced pan in Ireland for about 3 days.
I love no money.
And now, on the opposite end, you get 4 days, 3 consecutive days, bright sunshine in a week. Not even supposed to be that nice on Friday or over the weekend, and it's already going sketch. Only you have to share the bath water with your dad again. It's back to those days. Daddy goes first, and then we go to the youngest. Yeah. And God, don't mind the baby. Just rub it down with my baby wipes. We haven't got the water. Mammy, I'm sorry. You'll have to stand in the rain like you always do.
It does seem unusual. I will grant you that. And early in the year for us or whatever.
Yeah,
but
if
people think of Ireland, any person either within or outside of Ireland will, if you think of Ireland, you think of rain.
Rain, yes. Yeah.
You know,
water.
The green and pleasant land and all that stuff. And
Surrounded by water.
Cavan
has a lake for
raining,
every day of the year.
Constantly raining. You can't even guarantee that if you were to have a summer wedding or a summer event or something, you can't even guarantee that it won't rain then.
But the
and here we are 4 days in. Drought!
There you go, drought. Oh my God, there are going to be weddings in shorts. Yeah. And you're right.
Will it ever rain again?
See, the popular wedding venues now are doing this option where they have an indoor or an outdoor option. So you don't even have to make up your mind until the actual day of the wedding. That's some of the popular ones are doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you can't plan. You just can't, you know. But what you would have thought that if you had a wedding now over the next few weeks and in April, somewhere in Ireland, in Roscommon or Leitrim or Longford or Dublin or wherever.
Yeah, but you don't have a drop.
That you wouldn't be thinking right now when you're staying in the hotels, all the guests have to use one bath. Right?
Yeah.
You have to use one bath.
In fact, when we do that, you know, the walk bit.
Yeah.
We're all going to walk under with the one communal shower, right? Yeah. And that'll do you for the 2 days.
Now, we're going to just hose down the bride's family. We've got to hose them down. God knows they could do with it.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
If you're somebody who thinks you're good at multitasking, that's all very well and good. You might think I'm a good multitasker, but it may not be enough nowadays. You may need to be something more than just a multitasker.
Multitasking be damned. We're now becoming, apparently, a nation of bothists.
Bothists.
Yeah, as are most Europeans, we're becoming bothists. Now, what's that? It's when you do two things at the same time consistently. Not a multitasker, because a multitasker does it intentionally. A bothist is when you can't physically do one thing without doing another because you're so overwhelmed with options, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
So examples.
It doesn't sound like a good thing.
It's not really. So examples of bothism. You're watching TV, but you cannot help scrolling through your phone at the same time. You have to do both.
Mm.
One is just not going to satiate you. Sitting in the silence looking at your phone, no. Watching the TV with 100% concentration, no. I need to be doing both. Yeah? Some people have to have music on when they're reading a book. They can't do one or the other. They need to do both.
Right.
You know, there's all these. Some people have to have a TV on or have to have a podcast in when they're exercising. Or some people couldn't possibly drive without listening to an audio book or a story or a podcast. Or
yeah.
Some people can't go
now,
for a walk anymore.
See, I could drive. I could easily drive now without any sort of, without the radio on. Or
because it's the only time in your life you don't hear your own voice going, what are you doing, what are you doing, what are you doing, why are you doing it? Nobody likes
But I do know people who literally couldn't be. And likewise, if I'm at home, I could quite easily be at home in the house and have no sound. As in, not the telly on, not the radio on,
yes,
no, whatever.
Yes, yeah.
But I know people who cannot bear it. They have to have.
I can't be in silence. I cannot.
Can you not?
I cannot be in silence.
Sure,
no,
you're never in silence. Surely you've always got loads of people with you, even when you're on your own.
Thank God for that. Thank God for for all my friends. God for that.
No, seriously, can you not listen? Do you have to listen to stuff?
I do, yeah. No, it drives me mad. The sound of silence is so, it's like, it sounds like impending doom to me.
Oh,
I
really?
Have to have something on. Yeah, now some people say I'm a bothist.
The bomber's like that now. He'd be like you.
Yes, yeah.
The similarities between you and him are getting a bit scary sometimes.
Close that dirty hole in your face, please, for a second. Bothism is a real thing.
No matter what it is you do,
you have to do something.
So whatever
else
you're setting out to do,
yeah,
something else, you must be involved in doing something. So what happens if you're doing something that's like, you know, borderline dangerous. Like, you know, you're doing a bit of DIY at home or something, or, you know.
And you have to eat a sandwich. Can he go, yeah. Next thing, you have a mouthful of nails because you got confused.
Wow.
Those types of things, yeah. Like, some people just, and it's more the daily sort of chores. Some people, they can't have a conversation without looking at their phone. Or some people can't have a conversation without scanning the whole room or checking their watch all the time.
Yeah. Do you know what's different nowadays, actually, and it fits into what you're saying? Years ago...
That's how gym school days start. Once upon a time, in a time far, far away.
Used to be, like, it's lots of people would go in for something to eat, in a, you know, whatever, and they'd happily just sit there and
Look out the window.
Yeah. And now, you can't nobody eats without looking at their phone. If they're on their own. If they're not talking to somebody else, they have to be looking at the phone.
Nobody can do it. Nobody can stand in a bank just looking at the back of the head of the person in front of them, daydreaming.
That's actually
nobody
true,
can do that anymore.
Well,
they must have a phone, or they must be listening to music, or they must have something to read, or they must have someone to talk to, or they must have a big old chicken roll to be putting into their faces. You have to be doing something else at the same time, because otherwise you'll feel like you'll go demented. Yeah,
right.
That's it. And it's
so we're saying it's an affliction. Unlike multitasking, that might be seen as a good thing, being a bothist isn't necessarily a good one.
I feel like I'm a bothist, I have to be honest.
Do you?
Yes, in a lot of ways. I can't drive a car and not want to eat. I can't go for a walk without eating. Can't go to a restaurant without eating, obviously. I can't come in here without eating. I really, really struggle to watch TV without eating. Most of the time when I meet you, I struggle for the two of us not to be eating.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.